Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, September 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Time for another one of our regular sessions with Chef Gail Sokol. Chef Gail is an educator, author, podcaster, and YouTube sensation. Today, Chef Sokol wants to teach me about baking with veggies from the fall harvest, both sweet and savory. And of course, Gail will take your calls. And I must say that she brought a dish that is among the greatest things she ever brought today. You can go to WAMC.org/VoxPop and see a quick video of how she made it. And we'll talk about it coming up. You want to give us a call? We'd love it. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@WAMC.org. Baking with goods from the harvest, Chef Gail Sokol, and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's harvest time, and here to talk about turning nature's bounty into delicious vegetative baked goods already, both sweet and savory, is Chef Gail Sokol. Joining us once again for a great, every time she is here, it is a learning experience for me, and I love it. She is a chef, educator, and author. Gail was a faculty member for years at Schenectady County Community College and the Sage Colleges in Troy. She is the author of a widely used textbook entitled About Professional Baking and a cookbook, Baking with Success. She has a successful podcast called Baking Radio and is the star of a lot of videos on YouTube, one of which is linked from our page today at WAMC.org. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@WAMC.org. Chef Sokol, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me yet again.
You killed it this time.
Yay.
This, you know, you always make something wonderful on the show, in topic, whatever we're doing. This is one of the most amazing things you have ever made. Let's get started and talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's a summer squash galette. People have zucchini coming out of their ears this time of year, or summer squash. And I just thought, why not put it together with some cheese instead of the typical, you know, tomato or quiche, or you know, throwing your broccoli or zucchini in a cake. You can do that. It's wonderful. But this is just something a little different.
It sure is.
You just take a flaky pie crust. So you can take any flaky pie crust. And I made it into a galette, that free-form tart, free-form sort of for the masses type of a pie, if you will. And I rolled it out. I added smoked Gouda. I just piled this. And I know you like cheese.
You had me at Gouda.
I had you at Gouda. And you can use any cheese you want. You could use cheddar, mozzarella, Asiago, Parmesan, a combo, anything.
Yeah.
And I just spread a couple of cups on that, rolled out 14-inch crust. And then I started shingling my zucchini and my summer squash, which I put a minced garlic into a bowl with these slices, a little salt, and let them sort of break down a little. Let the water sort of come out of it, like, you know, osmosis.
Yeah.
Like, so you pull that water out so you don't make your tart soggy. No one likes a soggy crust.
Right. A soggy tart.
Or a soggy bottom of
right.
a soggy crust.
Go. Okay.
Correct. That's
fine.
A different different topic. So that's what I did. I put a little egg wash on the sides, sort of flipped about 1 to 2 inches of the crust over all the way around. Mm. And then I just egg washed the outside. And when it comes out of the oven after about 45 minutes at 400, I just scattered chopped chives, grated a lemon. So just the lemon zest, just the yellow zest.
I think that's brilliant because it just adds a little bit of zing.
It's just a little je ne sais quoi, you know, it's just something. And some people will say, well, what is that? What is that? I love it. And the flakiness of that crust and, you know, zucchini are bland, so they need a little, you know, zhuzhing up. So you really do need to add the garlic and the salt. And I put coarse ground pepper on there.
The recipe is on our website, and there's also a terrific video of you making this thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can try it at home. I doubt highly, unless you're really experienced, you're going to get crust this good.
No, anybody can do it. Yes.
Really?
Yes. I did this in the food processor. You can do it in a bowl with a pastry blender. You know what a pastry blender is, right?
No.
No. I told you. Okay. So it's got a handle and it's got metal loops and you sort of cut butter into the dry ingredients, the flour and the salt.
Yeah.
And you make it so that the butter is pea-sized pieces. You don't fully blend it in.
Mm-hmm.
And those pea-sized pieces are going to form the flakiness in your crust as it bakes because the little pieces of butter are going to melt and form spacers. And those spacers fill with air and they form steam. And what does steam do under pressure of a hot oven? It expands and the layers of dough up and below it sort of get pushed, separated, and you got that beautiful flakiness.
I thought you were going to ask me what it does, and
I know better than that.
You would give me multiple choice because I love the way you folded the crust over on the outside.
Yeah, it can be done. It almost came out as a perfect circle, but you can actually get sort of any state of the union you want. You could form Texas or Florida, whatever. But this came out really nice. I just flipped over maybe an inch to 2 inches. Anything goes here because it's going to taste great no matter what you do.
I think that this is a winner, and I can tell you, I had about 2/3 of a slice before the show, and I want to have more and more.
It's great because, like I said, the wonderful blandness of that squash and the cheesiness and the smokiness from that Gouda and the crunchy flakiness. It's everything you'd ever want in a snack, a meal. And you could do this as an appetizer tart with a nice bottle of wine or some beer, whatever you want to do, whatever your drink is, and then go into your meal. Or this could be your meal.
By the way, Wonderful Blandness will be the title of my biography. Chef Gail Sokol joins us today, and we are talking about baking with Nature's Bounty. And she outdid herself, and that's a tough thing to do because Chef Gail always brings great stuff. This zucchini thing is, what do you call it, a galette?
Summer squash galette.
It's a summer squash? It's not a zucchini.
It's zucchini and yellow squash.
So why don't you call it zucchini?
Because it sounds so much nicer to say summer squash, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like summer squash galette, like Little Red Corvette,
you're
actually.
So bourgeois. All no, right, you gotta make it sound good.
You're right. Well, it sure tastes good. This email came in. We'll take a break and we'll do other things. 800-348-2551 if you want to talk to Chef Gail today. 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. This one's from Matt. I have a bumper crop of large cherry tomatoes. I have dozens and dozens, scores and scores would be more accurate of them in my refrigerator. I've given away what I can, but every day I harvest at least 20 more. I can only eat so many in a salad. Can you give me any recommendations of what I can do with all of these? I don't want them to go to waste. I'm at a loss, and that's from Matt.
Okay. Oh yeah. You. I have a table full of cherry tomatoes as well from my daughter's garden, and they keep coming and they keep coming. So I appreciate what you're saying. So one thing that I recommend, and you don't have to put this into a baked good, but get a sheet pan, put an oven at about 300 degrees Fahrenheit, get a sheet pan with a rack, like a cooling rack on it. Get about a pound of those cherry tomatoes, and it sounds like that's not going to be a problem for him to gather a pound. Toss them with about a tablespoon of olive oil, about a teaspoon of salt, and just toss them with your hands and just gently lay them over. You know, make sure they're washed, dried, to have all the stuff taken off of them. Put it on the rack, put it in the oven for about an hour. They're going to get shriveled. They're going to look like a little old lady, a lot of them.
Nice.
And then just peel them off that rack, and you're going to have the sweetest, it's almost going to be jammy tomatoes. You can put them in a sauce. You could put them on top of a focaccia, you know, like a flatbread.
Yeah.
Put them on a pizza. Use them on a salad. They are addicting. He may not even get them off the sheet pans. He's going to be eating them all and popping them into his mouth.
Now, can you do that method with larger tomatoes?
You can, but there's so much more water in a larger tomato that you're just going to end up with sort of mush. So the larger tomatoes, it would be great. My daughter was growing San Marzanos, so I added them to a wonderful meat sauce the other day. We've been eating a lot of tomatoes.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong
and
with that.
And it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Gazpachos are also good. Watermelon tomato gazpachos. You could even get phyllo dough. and actually lay phyllo, you know, slices of phyllo dough on a sheet pan and just sort of drizzle butter or olive oil over each layer and keep layering. And then layering on any type of goat cheese, any type of cheese you wanted, and then putting slices of tomato. I may do that for my next video.
Oh, I love it. You know, not to brag, but Mrs. Graff made a tomato pot. Fred Breglia from the gardening show came in and said, listen, my family has grown all these tomatoes. I don't know what to do with them. So he gave me a bag of tomatoes.
Nice.
Mrs. Graff made a tomato pie.
Oh,
and she didn't know that this show was coming up. And she made her own dough and then sliced these tomatoes and layered them with, I think, cheddar and Parmesan and some basil from our garden.
Yum.
I put a picture of that on our website, too, because I was so proud of it.
Awesome.
I only got to have a molecule because the family devoured it.
But I'm sure they
did. It looked great. Let's take a break. Gail Sokol is with us. We are baking with vegetables today, and your calls are welcome at 800-348-2551. Vox Pop on WAMC. Today is a Friday. It's a Food Friday, and we're joined by Chef Gail Sokol, and we're talking about baking with vegetables today. We have I wish you could all share what we are eating here today. Zach, the engineer, already had a couple of slices, and he's very happy about the whole thing, and so am I. We've done the zucchini, the summer squash. We've talked a little about tomatoes. Let's talk. I'll throw some veggies at you.
Uh-oh.
See what you can come
okay.
up with. Ready?
Okay.
Lettuce.
Well, what type of lettuce are we talking about?
Dough. Iceberg lettuce.
Oh, forget iceberg lettuce. Raymond, you know better than that.
All right,
come on.
All right.
What about taking arugula and putting it over a focaccia or a pizza crust that you've baked or grilled on, you know, on the grill, or you could put it in the oven, salt and pepper it. Don't even use cheese and just pile a beautiful salad with a light vinaigrette on it and use arugula on top of there. You could even use some of the cherry tomatoes.
Yeah. Now, what does arugula look like again?
Arugula is like a longer, almost looks like, to me, it almost looks like the green part of a dandelion, like, you know, the green that comes off the dandelion, but it's prettier.
And you could barbecue that?
No, you don't barbecue that. You barbecue the pizza crust.
Oh,
okay, listen.
All right, we're off to a flying start with Chef Gail Sokol. Check, please. 800-348-2551. What do you do with corn?
Okay, so I told you we talked about corn ice cream at one point.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did. You don't remember.
Who the blue blazes would eat that?
And you know what? I really was not a believer in corn ice cream, and then I had so much corn, and I said, you know what? I'm going to try it.
Okay.
I am going to try it.
All right.
So I cut the corn, you know, the kernels off the cob.
Yeah.
And I actually made a custard with cream, with the corn, sort of infusing it together.
Yeah.
You puree it. You put it through a sieve. Not a big deal. And then with milk, you make a custard with egg yolks. You temper your egg yolks. You put some sugar in. Oh, Ray.
Oh, come on.
It was amazing. You taste corn with this creaminess.
I don't want to.
You would love it.
All right.
Even you would love it.
Okay.
It's on my website. It's a video. You can look it up.
I don't know
the recipe.
All right, Chef.
Tell your wife about it. She may want
to
make it.
No, I'm not going to tell her about it because it's to me, it still sounds like it's a non-starter.
Oh, it's excellent.
But I'm sure it's very good. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest today. 800-348-2551 is the phone number. We talk about baking and cooking with vegetables today. It's that time of year, and we will be doing this a lot over the coming weeks on this program. Adam in Manorkill writes, can we take a minute to talk about how awesome zucchini is in chocolate cakes?
Yes, yes, yes.
I've not heard of this.
Well, you have heard of this, right?
No.
Oh, you have not heard of a chocolate zucchini cake?
Are you surprised that
I haven't
heard of something?
Do you live under a rock?
Well,
a lot of people make chocolate zucchini cake. It's amazing. You have to grate the zucchini, and because you don't want to add too much water to the cake, I put it in a kitchen towel, clean kitchen towel, after you shred it, and just squeeze out the water. So you make sure that whatever your zucchini you're putting in is dry.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You just see tiny little flecks of green. It's a great way to have the kiddies eat veggies without knowing, because the chocolate taste sort of overcomes. If they say, what's the green stuff? Just say, I don't know.
Okay, wait a minute. Now that was what we call in the poker world a tell. You just said the chocolate sort of covers up the...
But you don't really... Zucchini is basically bland. It's delicious, but it does need some flavoring.
Yeah.
It does. Okay. And as we saw, I flavored mine with a little minced garlic, salt, you know, pepper, and then the Gouda really sort of is a great, it works in tandem with it. So here, the chocolate would work great. You can even make a non-chocolate zucchini cake that's delicious. You can put spices in, like cinnamon, ginger, things like that. That would be amazing.
How about we just make a chocolate cake and call it?
You could do that as well. But this is really delicious, healthy, and it's using up that extra zucchini.
Chef Gail Sokol is with us today, and we're talking about that, taking stuff out of the garden and making delicious baked goods, both sweet and savory. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. All right. I'm going back in my memory banks to things my father grew that I didn't like. Beets.
Beets.
What do you do?
You can actually use beets in a cake.
No.
You can. You can mash them. You know, you have to cook them and mash them.
You're not a beets fan, are you?
I like to roast beets and eat them in a savory manner.
Okay, well, let's do that.
You can do that.
Well,
you
tell
can,
me about
well,
that.
Well, what I do is I peel them because they have this outer peel. Just be sure you don't have anything great on that you love, like a white top or something.
Yeah.
Because beet juice is forever.
Really?
It will not come out, so be careful. So you peel it, you chop it. You can put it in little dice. You can put it in slices. Put on a sheet pan, olive oil, salt and pepper, garlic, onion, whatever you want to do there. Roast it in the oven. Move it around a little bit with an offset spatula. Flip it over on itself. I put it in about 400 degrees Fahrenheit. And when it gets soft that you could pierce it with a knife, it's done. It's amazing. You can serve it with a little cheese on top. You can serve it as an accompaniment to fish, chicken, ribs, anything you want. It's wonderful. You can even pair it with things like Brussels sprouts. I bet that's really high on your list.
All right.
You got real quiet there.
That's a good seg there. What can we do with Brussels sprouts besides throw them at the neighbor's house?
Yeah. Well, that is one thing.
Yeah, well.
I like to, this is, again, not a baked good because I don't really care for them in my baked good, although there are people that can. Beets can be used in a cake. If you mash them and use them as part of the wet ingredients, you can. It gives the beets sort of a, you know, the chocolate cake, it would be best in a chocolate cake, because it will give it a slight reddish hue to
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And it's very, very, you know, very healthy. So what did you just ask me?
Brussels sprouts. I don't want the usual roasted Brussels sprouts
hate. So make a raw Brussels sprouts slaw.
Ugh.
Oh, you would love this. You take a Brussels sprout, take a few of the outer leaves off, just so you make sure they're clean and beautiful. Cut off the stem and just sort of slice them super, super thin. Put them in a bowl and put any type of vinaigrette you want. A little olive oil, a little any type of vinegar, even if it's, rice wine vinegar, sort of an Asian, a slant. Put a little sesame seed in there.
Nice.
A little salt and pepper. It is excellent next to a hamburger, a hot dog, ribs, anything.
You know, I think that one of the reasons Brussels sprouts frighten me and appall me to some extent is that Thanksgiving, we'd always have the family get together and they'd make roast Brussels sprouts and they were huge. And I was always afraid I would choke on them.
Well, it's possible they were not made properly because I've had friends that will remain nameless that didn't really cook their Brussels sprouts.
That was it. They were too hard.
So you're at the table, you're trying to cut it. It doesn't cut. And you can't chew it, and you want to, you don't want to break any dental work or anything. So you just put them on the side, and you're thinking this person did not do a good job really breaking them down. They've got to be broken down so you can eat them.
Right.
So they're palatable.
All right. Chef Gail Sokol is with us today. The number is 800-348-2551. Having a wee bit of trouble at the moment with the email reader. But feel free to email voxpop@wamc.org. I will get that sorted out very quickly. And let's see, we've gone through the corn, and that you made sense with that.
What about broccoli? You're a broccoli fan? Just
can you tell the overarching theme that I didn't eat many vegetables?
Well, you know what it is? It's the cruciferousness you don't like.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Brock cruciferousness. Because that's a type of vegetable that has sort of a cross at the root. It forms sort of a cross. So your Brussels sprouts, your cauliflower, your broccoli are all cruciferous.
Uh-huh.
And they can give people some digestive issues sometimes. So some people don't like them. But there's a lot of things you can do. Broccoli, you could put it in a bread pudding. You could put it in a quiche. You like quiche?
Oh, I do.
Real
absolutely.
Men like quiche. You
yes,
like quiche.
Absolutely. I'm
so
all over it.
It's awesome. Cauliflower, you can rice cauliflower or broccoli in a food processor and make those little bits.
Yeah.
So much better for you than just white rice. Really, really good. And put any type of seasonings in there or other vegetables.
Do
You're
you garden?
Laughing.
No. Do you garden? Do you have your own vegetable garden?
My daughter does. I do not.
Yeah.
I go out and look at it once in a while. And she comes in with lots of beautiful things and she'll say, cook with this.
Well, you're the expert.
Well, and there's now something she's growing. I think it's a purple sweet potato ube. Ube, it's a Japanese sweet potato.
Okay.
And it looks like a dead rat. She
nice.
Is growing these, and she's actually successful. There's stalks coming out, like purple stalks. And she wants me to create a filling for either a pastry. And it's a very, very big in Japanese cuisine. So I got to study up on this before they grow because they haven't grown yet.
That's exciting. Hey, by the way, speaking of that, do you have a good recipe for a dead rat?
No.
Okay.
Just bury it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. Jessica is in Hudson Falls. Jessica, you're on.
Hi. I have given up on my garden this year due to some tomato blight and dry weather.
Mm.
And so before I got rid of my tomato plants, I picked all the green ones. I would prefer to stay away from, like, the fried green tomatoes. I know that's kind of the go-to. But I was curious if you had any creative ideas of what to do with them green. I know you can leave them on the windowsill to slowly ripen them, but I find sometimes they get bad before they get good.
Right. One idea I would have, and I've never done this, but if you have green tomatoes, did you ever try using them much like a tomatillo, which is sort of a green tomato without, you know, they don't have a husk on them, the green tomatoes, and use them in a salsa, chop them up, put them in the blender and just sort of pulse it. So, or a food processor and put other things in there like bell pepper, tomatoes, things like that, and a little vinegar and oil and onion, and use it as a salsa. I bet it would be delicious.
Mm. That's a great idea. Would you? I know a lot of the time with those tomatilla salsas, they call for you to boil them first. Do you think you'd do that with green tomatoes as well?
Honestly, Jessica, I have never boiled a tomatillo in my life. I just I just take the peel off, I chop it, and I throw it in my food processor. So I would not boil this. If you want to get the peel off, I'd say you want to eat the whole thing. You want as much nutrition as possible. It's a beautiful green tomato. Use the whole thing. Just take the, you know, just take the core out. Yeah, enjoy that. That's going to be great. It would be great with like a nice like skirt steak or a London broil.
Yeah. Yes.
Yum.
Now
that
you
salsa.
Have my attention.
Excellent.
So, you know, let's go back to the tomato thing that you had mentioned. Actually, you had mentioned this with regard to the veggies that are in this beautiful galette. And when Mrs. Graff was making the tomato pie that I was telling you about, she did something I've never seen before. She had the tomatoes sliced, salted, I believe on paper towels, and let them, as you mentioned, sort of just ooze the tomato fluid, whatever they call that. And then she blotted it.
Yep.
If I did that, and then I got the tomatoes to near freezing, the slices, could you batter dip them and deep fry them?
You could. You want to freeze them? I don't know if I would freeze them because then you're going to end up creating more water as they thaw.
Yeah.
So
the water should be out of there, though, right?
It's never out of a tomato. They always give more. They always have more. So, you know, if you put them, salt them, you know, like a little salt, just like Mrs. Graff did.
Yes.
And put them on a paper towel lined sheet pan. Leave them for about 10 minutes. Flip them over.
Yep.
Blot them again. and then do your breading. Fry them. It should work, but you got to do it. You got to move. You got to move and do it. You know, you got to be fast about it.
So the fried green tomatoes, the book, the movie, yada, 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 that's a thing. But you can fry sliced red tomatoes?
Yeah, as long as they're firm and they're not overripe. You don't want an overripe tomato to do that.
Right.
Absolutely. I've even made stacks. If you want to make an incredible appetizer or something that people are going to say, oh, wow, this is amazing. Slice a beautiful tomato, heirloom, anyway, beefsteak, whatever you want. Then take slices of mozzarella cheese, eggplant, and I usually roast the slices of eggplant, roast them a little bit in the oven first,
yeah.
And then make towers. So you have a slice of eggplant, mozzarella, tomato,
yes.
And then you take a rosemary stalk, you know, like a stick of rosemary, you might have that in your garden, and you stick it through, put it in the oven, and you may have a slice or two of mozzarella in there. Wait until the mozzarella's melted, take them out, and that would be an incredible vegetarian dinner.
That sounds delicious.
Or something with a salad. It's amazing.
Love the eggplant. And we'll come back to that, but let's grab another call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chef Gail Sokol is with us today. Peter is either in Norwalk or Norwich, or it says Norwich.
In Warwick.
Oh, Warwick.
W-A-R.
Gotcha. That's all right.
I love the recipe you were talking about a few moments ago, Gail, with zucchini, but I'm having difficulty finding a place that sells chocolate zucchini plants. Where?
Are you joking?
Anyhow, all I wanted to say is that you have great recipes, Gail. Keep up the good work. Ray, eat more vegetables. I love the show. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks, Peter.
The number is 800-348-2551.
Wow.
That was marginally helpful, Peter. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to an email here from Stephanie. Can you make the summer squash galette with the addition of cherry tomatoes, or make it as a cherry tomato galette with no summer squash?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You can do that. You could take a large tomato and a few cherry tomatoes. You could take, you know, intersperse them and just leave the zucchini out.
Yeah.
But I definitely would slice, just like Mrs. Graff did, I would definitely slice, salt, and blot. Because you want to get as much water out of them as you can, because you don't want that soggy crust. We don't like soggy crust, right?
Right you are, Chef Gail Sokol. And thank you for being with us today. This email from Bill. Fun show. Well, good for you. Has anyone ever cooked or baked with popcorn?
You could probably grind popcorn and coat it with, coat chicken with it. I have seen it with shrimp. Like popcorn shrimp, you know, they're talking about pieces, but you can actually grind fully popped popcorn and grind it up and use it almost as like a breadcrumb.
You ever see the emoji where the top of the head flies off? And so you just said popcorn shrimp with, they use actual popcorn when they make
that? No. No. They are calling it popcorn shrimp, but you can actually use that. Some people might be. I don't know. I don't eat popcorn shrimp, so I don't know.
You don't eat popcorn shrimp?
No.
All right, Gail. Well, Zach is looking askance. Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. Just a quick question for you. How many IQ points do you lose after you're on a show with me?
Oh, I'd have to calculate with my phone.
You still seem to have some left, so let's take a break. We'll be back. Bird, Charlie Parker here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Hey, if you're just tuning in after that uplifting moth episode, you'll want to go to our website, WAMC.org, and hit the Vox Pop Food Friday page. There is a video of this tremendous thing that Gail Sokol brought, and it is a summer squash galette.
Yes.
Which was a hit by Prince.
Correct.
Many years ago. But it's delicious. And
thank you.
And there's a how-to video on there. So I encourage you to go to WAMC.org and check that out. Now, let's go back to our phone lines. Ken in Albany. Ken, you're on.
Hello there.
Hello.
A couple of things. Hang on.
Fine.
Are you there?
Oh, yes. Hello.
Sorry, I'm having trouble with my speakerphone.
Oh, well, why don't you go? Hey, here's a question. Ken, Can you go off speakerphone, or is it not convenient?
No, it's, I fixed it.
Sorry. Okay, man, go.
All right, a couple things. One was a suggestion come up with by a friend of mine about the listener with the surfeit of cherry tomatoes, and a question about the corn ice cream. The cherry tomatoes, a friend of mine, I haven't done this myself, but she had a bunch of them, and what she did was dry them a bit. She has a food dehydrator, but she just used a warm oven. Pierce the cherry tomatoes after they're washed, of course, and just dry them out till they kind of shrivel up and get not completely dry. You can't really do that. Sort of like sun drying, except artificial sun. And
you all right over there?
And then you can put them in the freezer.
Yeah, like an oven, like an oven dried tomato. Yes, that's a great idea. That's right. Another way to go. Yep.
You just keep them in the freezer and use them whenever.
Yeah.
You put it in a sauce or that. So that I would, if I had cherry tomatoes, I'd be doing that.
That's
the
a good idea.
The other question, I had about the corn ice cream. I make ice cream myself at home. I have the KitchenAid frozen bowl thing, and I love that. Make the custard and then convert it. What you said with the corn, you cook it down with the custard, and then you put it through a sieve.
Yeah, because I puree it, and then I put it through a sieve because you don't want chunks. I mean, unless you like your corn ice cream chunky.
I am literally
getting nauseous right now.
So let's just move on.
So how do you do it, Ken?
I don't do the corn.
No.
I'm just wondering how you get something that's got corn in it through a sieve. Maybe I'm not picturing
the corn isn't going through the sieve. So you've pureed it, you're actually infusing, okay? So maybe the better word would be you're infusing your cream or your milk, whatever you're using. I use both. You're infusing your milk, your dairy with the corn flavor.
No.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then you're getting rid of the kernels,
right.
Okay? But you're pureeing it to let as much corn goodness out as possible, okay?
Okay.
So doesn't the sieve clog up with the solids
seconds? Yes, within seconds, yes. So the liquid goes through pretty quickly. You have to sort of move it around a little with a rubber spatula. You help it along.
Yeah.
And then you get rid of your solids, throw them out, and you have this beautiful corn-infused dairy that you can now make your custard with your yolks.
Ken, do me a favor, man. Sure. Try this and let us call us back on another show and let me know how it goes.
Please.
I'm extremely skeptical about this.
Oh, stop.
All right. Well, I'll give it a shot.
Please do,
it's
Ken.
A new skill for me, which I can grow them.
Okay.
All right, thank you for the call.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a good one. 800-348-2551 is the number. Have you ever tried Chef Gail Sokol, writer of a textbook and a cookbook, garlic ice cream?
No, I have heard of it. I would probably not be a fan. You probably would love it.
I am doing a garlic show at the end of the month with the folks from the Hudson Valley Garlic Fest.
Are you challenging me?
No. you know what? I never tell you what to do, but I'm going to get to the bottom of this whole garlic ice cream business.
Are they bringing some?
I doubt it.
Oh. But, well, then what's your point?
Well, there'll be people who know about garlic.
Yeah, well, of course. And you better, you know, maybe do some. Is it going to be in this studio?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be reeking of garlic.
Okay.
So be careful.
Well, heck, you almost burned the place down. I mean,
only once.
All right, let's go to Parker in Great Barrington. Parker, you're on.
Hey, how are you this afternoon?
Hello.
Love your show, Chef
Thanks.
Gail.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sure.
So I just wanted to add to the conversation on the use of green tomatoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an old family tradition to make green tomato relish this time of year. And you definitely do not boil the green tomatoes. They are all chopped up in a food processor. It is much like Chef Gail was saying. It's green tomatoes and green bell peppers and onion and vinegar. And a little salt, and sometimes even a little cabbage as a filler. But it's absolutely delicious and an old New England tradition.
That
Definitely
sounds
a great.
Great
use for green tomatoes.
That sounds great, Parker. Yes.
Hey, thanks
Wonderful.
A lot.
You can use it.
Go ahead.
Mix it with some mayonnaise as a remoulade or on steak or on hot dogs with mustard, all of that. It's all
oh,
delicious.
It's a lot of variations you can do. It sounds amazing.
Well, thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 here on this Food Friday with Chef Gail Sokol. Now, the green tomatoes, they're just not ripe, right? Is that
right? They're not green. But some tomatoes, there are tomatoes that are certain species of tomatoes. I'd have to talk to my daughter more in detail. That stay green. And there's some heirloom tomatoes that are green. They're delicious. They're not bitter. They're not sour. They're absolutely gorgeous, but they're green.
Okay. If you ground it up in a blender with yellow squash, would it come out blue?
No, now you're getting crazy, Ray.
No. What do you mean I'm getting crazy?
It's not going to, you're already there. I know, you're already there. No, it would not get blue.
All right, fine.
No.
This email from Claire, who says, my husband makes a delicious dessert with green tomatoes and a granola-like concoction. People think the green tomatoes are apples when they eat it. Delicious.
Wow. Almost like a mock tomato, like, you know, like a crisp or something. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Do you want her number?
But, maybe after the show. But the other thing you can do is you can make a savory tomato, like a, like a crisp. But it would be savory, like a savory granola, so no sugar in there, and you would have a savory granola with savory spices instead of, you know, your cinnamon or your ginger and your allspice and all that. You can do it more savory, and that with oatmeal and nuts, and that would be great, sprinkled over sliced tomatoes and put in the oven. It would be a great dish.
Has this given you a great idea for a future video on YouTube?
Yes, you bet it does.
This is exciting. Gail Sokol is with us, and let's go to Hillsdale. Nina, you're on.
Hi. I have a tip for cooking Brussels sprouts a little more quickly than normal because it usually takes so long. I like to clean and slice the Brussels sprouts in half and then steam them in water for a little bit of time to make them softer from the inside. And then I take them out, put them on a paper towel, dry them a little bit, season them olive oil, and then shove them in the oven, and it cuts down the cooking time considerably.
How long are you cooking them in the oven after you do the boiling?
Oh, maybe to your liking, basically. I usually cover them very lightly with aluminum foil at the beginning so they don't burn.
Right.
And it takes the cooking, I don't know exactly the time, but it just seemed like it took forever before.
What's the temperature of your oven?
Probably 350.
Okay, because you can even cut back and die. And you're not really boiling. You're basically blanching them. You're partially cooking them.
Right.
But what I would even recommend trying this without, you skip the blanching and even quarter them. All right. So I don't ever roast them whole. You want to have, or depending on the size, if they're really like as big as Ray's head, you would want to quarter them and then put them on a sheet pan, olive oil, whatever spices you want. And on 400 degrees, I'm just joking. Sorry.
Continue, chef.
And you just put them in the oven and they're like 10 minutes and they're perfect.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Honest. You really ought to try it, Nina. They're amazing.
I will.
Really.
Thanksgiving was coming around.
That's it. Just you quarter them, and it's amazingly delicious. Super fast.
All right.
What do you think about pureed Brussels sprouts for babies?
I don't think the babies think of it very well, but you could try it. It's a tough taste in the beginning. I mean, I'd go for something more like pureed carrots in the beginning, a little sweeter.
Yeah, well.
Work them up into Brussels sprouts.
My daughter's gone through everything, we're starting to get, we need some more ideas.
You could try it, and if the baby eats it, that's spectacular.
And it'll be surprising, Neil. Yeah. So let us know how that works out. Thank you. 800-348-2551. The average Brussels sprout is about what, 2 inches in diameter?
It's like the size of a walnut with the shell on.
About the same size as a golf ball. Put it on a tee, iron, 120 yards, down the fairway.
The golf ball's bigger.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. But I mean,
what kind of golf balls do you play with?
I think that there is some real buoyancy to those Brussels sprouts, and they could really travel.
There's so many other uses for them.
All right, let's go back. Oh, this email about tomatoes, a green zebra tomato. Says Sherry.
Yes.
A great tasting heirloom green tomato. Easy to grow, too.
So delicious and so beautiful because they're striped. They're striped but like you, a zebra.
But if you close your eyes, you can't tell.
Yes. Oh, they're so good. They taste so different than a regular heirloom tomato. You know, like a red one. Or then there's the red one with the orange sort of like swirl on them, like they're marbleized.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Interesting.
You got to try it.
Number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Chef Gail Sokol joins us today. We're talking about baking and cooking with Nature's Bounty on the program. And
may I blow your mind one last time?
Feel free.
So you could, you know what a caprese salad is?
No.
Come on.
It's caprese salad.
Like mozzarella.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Sliced
with tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And basil. That's called the caprese salad.
Okay.
All right. Ask Mrs. Graff. She'll probably know.
She probably knows
absolutely
a lot.
Absolutely.
Yes, I'm sure
you
about that.
You can make an amazing tomato granita. Or a sorbet that's not sweet, like a savory tomato.
You're kidding me.
No. You can make one basil. You can even make one, you know, remember I talked about buttermilk ice cream? You could do something with a cream cheese and serve it together. So you have the red, the white, and the green, like a little ball of each, and serve it with sliced tomatoes.
Ooh.
So fancy and so easy and delicious because you have actually frozen that beautiful tomato flavor for like ever in the freezer.
Yeah, I've never thought in my life about a savory sorbet.
Yes.
But is that a common thing?
No, it's not a common thing, but it can be done. I've seen recipes for it. I have nothing but admiration for the people that make those because it's something different. Everything is just so, you know, here's a hamburger and a hot dog. Let's do something different. You know, the reason why you like to eat, Ray, is because it looks good. But if you go to a restaurant, what's the first thing you look at?
The price.
No. The menu.
Oh, yeah.
That's a correct answer.
That's right. Okay.
And you look at the description of each item. So if it's not done in a way that your senses don't perk up, you know, your sense of flavor and smell and taste, you're not going to eat it. So it's got to sound good or you won't order it.
Very interesting. Let's go back to the heirloom tomatoes for a moment. You just kind of lit a portion of my brain that had a memory. I did an heirloom tomato show years ago.
Okay.
And there are many kinds, but not all of them. Some of them sort of went out of existence for a reason.
Yeah, I'm not sure why my daughter would be a better person for that. I think that those seeds maybe were lost, you know, in various ways. Those seeds have to be harvested and saved and dried and treated in a special way. And it's possible maybe through different weather changes, they didn't survive. So there may be some different subspecies that didn't survive.
But some don't taste that great. Isn't that true?
Yeah, some are mealy tasting. You know, they're better for sauce. The San Marzano looks like, it sort of almost looks like an hourglass.
Yeah.
And I made beautiful, like I told you a few nights ago, we're going to have it tonight for dinner with pasta. Meat sauce. No, you cannot come for dinner. I was going to say that.
That sounds pretty good.
And it is beautiful because I just added it to my sauce. So I used my canned tomatoes, but then she had fresh San Marzanos, like about 10 of them. She said, hey, Mom, put them in the sauce. And I diced them, and they are amazing. So delicious.
And when you put them in the sauce, you're taking the skin and seeds out?
No, you leave it all in there, but I cook it down. So you're basically, you know, cooking that sauce down, and a little bit of water evaporates, you have the meat, and then that tomato is not as soft as the rest of it, so it's more, you know, toothsome. So you have a little more, you know, texture.
Makes sense.
And it tastes fabulous.
Chef Gail Sokol is here. She has invited me to dinner at her house.
I don't know about that.
No, that's all right. 800-348-2551 if you'd like to get in for the final few minutes here. The video that you had that is on our website, the YouTube video, and you have dozens of these things, right?
Yes.
Where you're making the summer squash galette.
Yes.
How long did it take to make that video? It's very good production value.
It takes probably longer to bake it than make it.
Really?
So now I have to tell you that the pastry or the, you know, pâte brisée, the flaky pie crust that I made for today's show, I'm going to tell you, I cannot lie, I made it a week ago. The crust, and I froze it. So I took it out of the food processor. I put it into a bowl and pushed it together into a disc, wrapped it in plastic wrap. I dated it. I labeled it. I said, for Ray's show. No. I put it in my freezer. I swear, that's what I did. I put it in my freezer, and I took it out like 2 days ago to thaw in my refrigerator, and I made it today, sort of easy peasy.
Really, really amazing
stuff.
Super
easy, so it really isn't that hard.
I wasn't really talking about the food.
I know.
The video itself, the production is good. I mean,
it doesn't take that long. I have to clean up in between a video, so that's the one thing my daughter hates. She's like, when are we ready to go again? You know, but it goes, you know, we do several hours in one day, and we do usually about three videos for one day.
And she's the director?
She is my director, my producer.
Does she edit? Do you require a lot of editing?
No.
Because this show is not edited, you notice that.
No, I didn't notice.
Yes, some of the low-quality segments will be a dead giveaway.
She edits.
Okay. Well, listen, Gail, I think we have one more call here. I don't know. We have about 2 minutes here. So, Barb, if we can squeeze this call in, we will take it for Gail Sokol. While we're doing that, your website is?
ChefGailSokol.com.
And that is a link to your YouTube?
My YouTube channel.
And your podcast. Tell us about the podcast.
My podcast is called Baking Radio. I have 3 seasons of If You Ever Wanted to Know About Baking. The first season is like 56 episodes.
And then you got tired and do 3 a season?
Oh my gosh, I had to take a break. Then I did a second season of all different topics.
All right, we have 1 minute left. Cynthia, you're on.
All right, real quick. I made a squash soup last week with cream, and I chopped up and blended a yellow squash and white pepper, and it was delicious. And I want to do something with a cucumber, and do you have any ideas for that?
Yeah, you could do a great either a cucumber soup with more than one cucumber if you seeded it, put it through a blender or a food processor, but you can also add tomatoes to that, watermelon, seeded watermelon, and you can make a great gazpacho with that cucumber. It would be amazing.
With cucumber and watermelon?
Yes!
That doesn't sound good, Gail.
Oh my gosh, Ray.
Cynthia, do you agree?
It's delicious, Cynthia. Trust me on this.
I'm going to trust her.
Darn it, Cynthia.
What about the pepper? White pepper?
You can do any color pepper you want. If you like the white pepper, I find they don't have as much flavor as the red or the green. My favorite is red. But if you add some tomato, it'll cover up the color of that pepper. It won't stand out as much.
Hey, Cynthia, Count Basie's playing. We got to wrap this little shindig up. Gail Sokol, a wonderful job.
Thank you.
You kicked veritable backside on that beautiful, delicious galette that you made.
I'm glad you liked it.
Now we have to share it with the rest of the staff.
Yes, we do.
That's the worst part. Hey, thanks again. Support comes from Hudson Valley Wine on Food Festival, celebrating 21 years of wine, food, and the bounty of New York. September 10th and 11th, Dutchess County Fairgrounds, Rhinebeck, New York, HudsonValleyWineFest.com. Davidson Brothers Brew Pub, Glens Falls, New York, since 1996, serving lunch and dinner Thursday through Sunday starting at noon. DavidsonBrothers.com for details. And Stone Ridge Orchard, Ulster County, a 200-year-old historic working farm, presenting Findings Weekend. Plants, garden antiques, handcrafts, farm market, and more. October 1st and 2nd, StoneRidgeOrchard.com. Once again, thanks to the great Chef Gail Sokol for being with us. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our intrepid engineer. Another week is done, Zach. You won't have to see me till Monday. He's happy. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. We will see you Monday at 2:00.